And he's worthy to be praised. So, last week we were talking about this month being the month of July. And July is the month of accountability. If you've ever been here before, we have a calendar of what our theme is every single month. So we've been talking about accountability. And on last week, we started out with the message, trust the dream. Trust the dream. And we didn't finish that, so today will be part two of that, trust the dream. So we started out here with Joseph, and you know Joseph was a dreamer, and Joseph got himself in trouble because of his dream. And Joseph spent a lot of time telling other people about his dream and what God had set before him and what he thought he was going to do. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, our mouths can get us in a little bit of trouble. Not that we're trying to brag or put things on people or whatever, but we're just so excited about what's happening in our life, we want everybody else to be just as excited as we are. Amen? You know, especially if you're one of those people, you're excited for everybody. When your ship comes in, you want people to be excited for you.
Amen.
That's only natural. Amen. And so this is where Joseph is now. But Joseph's father set up a context because his father already had favored him. He favored him because he was what? The son of his old age. He was the son of the wife that he really wanted to begin with. And all these other things that played into play. And even better yet, what he did is he gave him a coat of many colors. Right. And by giving him this coat made him stand out. It set him out apart. Now others could really what even pick him out as he walked through the crowd. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're a believer, you walk through the crowd and people just say, it's something different about you. That's that coat of many colors that you wear. You know, you'll be somewhere, they say, it's something different about her. I remember we was having a test, we was talking one time and I heard Sister Shana say that, you know, some of the ladies at work were saying, well, no, that's why I like you. Or just something about you. People know when God's glory sits on your life. And this is why we have to be critical and careful of how we do things and how we say things, because sometimes you don't see yourself the way others see you. I know I'm very guilty of that a lot of times, and that, you know, you just see, well, I just do what I do, and I do this and I do that, and you don't know what other people are looking at. You know, I was in the car the other day and I was looking at something and I got frustrated about something and I proceeded to take my hand and slap myself on the head, and I heard my daughter say in the back seat, I didn't even know she was even looking and she even could see it. I thought she was asleep. She said, Daddy, is that how you deal with that? Mm-hmm.
Wow.
If I'm saying out of the mouths of children, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And see, so you even find yourself even when you in the places that you deal with things. See, what I'm understanding is, and what you will find out through Joseph that we talked about last week, that Joseph continued to change levels. And every time Joseph changed a level, his behavior had to change.
Amen.
Every time Joseph got to a different level, Joseph's dress had to change. You know, we started out last week that Joseph ended up with a coat of many colors. He was stripped. Every time Joseph went to another level, he was stripped. So that's what we talk about. You got to trust the dream. Because see, when you're getting stripped, it doesn't look real nice. When Joseph got the coat of many colors pulled from him and he was thrown in the pit there to die, it didn't look real nice. When he was sold into slavery, then he got in part of the house, he started what? Excelling again. He started getting back all these things he lost, and he was doing right. He followed what God had told him to do. He was living the right life. He was being prosperous. The Bible said what? Joseph was a slave and he was what? Yet prosperous. You can yet be in a bad situation. You can be in a bad job. You can be in a bad relationship and yet still be prosperous. Because what? The glory that's on your life. And that's that salt that's in your life. And others see that and they know it when they see it, but they know they can't touch it. And oh no, can they have it? So it frustrates them because they want it, but they can't have it. Because it's God's portion given to you.
Amen.
And it's about how you use what God has given you. So often we take for granted the things that God has given us because they come natural to us. So Joseph finds himself what? Now in Potiphar's house. And now he's what the Bible says. He was a good looking man. And he kept fighting off the advances of Potiphar's wife. And now Potiphar's wife wants him so much to the point that he gets close enough one day. She grabs his garment and he flees. The Bible says what? Flee fornication. Right? So he flees and now he's running naked. And she says, see what he tried to do to me? Do you not know sometimes you can just put yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time? You ain't got to be doing anything bad, but you're in the wrong place, the wrong time, with the wrong people, and now your name is tarnished. So now what? Joseph goes through a what? He went through a physical stripping, but he also went through stripping again. Because now Joseph almost got killed. They wanted to kill him, but they wouldn't kill him. Because God what? Put his hand on his life. He said, God has pretty much almost said, do anything you want, but don't touch his life.
Amen.
So now what happened? Joseph is thrown in prison. An innocent man in prison. Now, what you find interesting about that, even when Joseph is in prison, and I talk about that salt that's on your life, Joseph does what? He's like the warden. Now, when did the prisoners really get to run their asylum? Joseph did. The Bible said what? He was warden. He found favor with the warden, and the warden made him what? Head over everything, and people respected Joseph. So even Joseph is being what? A leader, even here in the prison. Now, oftentimes, you know, these gifts and things that we have, like I said, that God has given us that we take for granted is the very thing that's going to be the key that's going to open up the door. Trusting the vision. At this time, you think about Joseph's already been to two or three different scriptures. And then now these men come up to him, and the Bible said that they had dreams. It was a baker and a butler, and the butler tells his dream, and the butler said, you know, basically, and I'm just giving you a quick recap from last week, you know, he has these grapes, and he's crushing these grapes, and these so many grapes, I think it was three branches, and the three branches that had grapes, and he was crushing the grapes, and he asked Joseph, do you know what this dream means? And Joseph's like, yeah, and Joseph tells him, because Joseph is kind to him. Mm-hmm. Be kind to people. So he's kind to him. He tells him his dream, and then what happens? He said, oh, by the way, when you get there, remember me. Mm-hmm. So basically he tells the butler that you're going to get restored. That he was down there for a season, but he was going to be restored. And when he was restored, that he is to say, hey, matter of fact, I got a guy who's cool down there in prison. He didn't do it. Pardon him. Get him out. That's what Joseph really wanted from him. And he's like, of course, he said, oh, okay, because when people are in the same circumstance with you, they'll tell you anything to get out. Amen?
Amen.
So he's telling him, oh, yeah, I got you, and we're good. And then here comes the baker, and he interprets the baker, and the baker basically goes that he has this basket of bread, three loaves of bread on his head, and the birds were eating the bread. And Joseph, sometimes using your gift for me, sometimes you have to tell some people some things that they necessarily don't want to hear. Because it's your gifting, not you.
Amen.
So here in his gifting, Joseph has to give a grim report. He has to tell this man, he's not one of these prophets that's just going to prophesy that you're going to get a house next week and you're going to get this job. But yeah, and all these things might be true, but they didn't tell you the three jobs you're going to lose before you get that.
Right.
They didn't tell you four or five cars you're going to lose before you got there. They didn't tell you you was going to be sick in your body before you got there. See, so often we see the end part, but we don't know the between part. We know where it started at, we know where it ended at. And this is why we have to trust the dream. So what? So now here as we go forward now, Joseph finds himself, he tells the baker his dream, and the baker's dream is basically, at the end of his dream, he said, look, Pharaoh's going to kill you. Matter of fact, they're going to hang you. That's tough. And then as the time goes on, exactly what he said goes to pass. The baker comes in to have some kind of feast. The baker comes in, Pharaoh hangs the baker, and the cup holder is right there with Pharaoh, and he's doing it. So now the Bible, now check this out. So what happens is now they're here, and all these is in Genesis 39 and 40 and 41.
Right.
39 is a different one. 38, 40 and 41, but I ain't got to my text today because I'm trying to bring you up to speed. So it makes sense where we at. So then he gets there and he tells him the butler's there, and some time passes, and sometimes in there, you know, you think your people are gonna remember you when they get that big time job because you know you help them when they weren't doing their thing, or you invested in their business when they didn't have anybody who was investing in them. You saw what God had already put in them before anybody else saw it. So, you know, we all know those people, and they sometimes things happen and they just kind of forget about you. And one of the things that the nuggets that God dropped on us last week is that sometimes people forget what I said, that people will forget you, but their circumstances will make them remind you. People forget stuff, but when they get in the right circumstances, problems are going to be the key which is going to open up the door for you.
Amen.
People don't hire you because they got everything together. They hire you because they got a problem, and they're hoping that you are the solution to their problem. So this is where Joseph comes in. So now Pharaoh has a dream.
Hi.
What does Joseph do? He interprets a dream. If you have a gift, stop holding your gift. I know some of you say, well, I want to wait till I get to this platform. I want to wait till I get to this stage. And I'm telling you, that's too late. Your gift is being perfected all along the way. So Joseph is spending time what? He's interpreting dreams all along the way. So you got to think that Joseph is just getting better and better and better. He's sowing into people. He's sowing into people's lives. And, you know, so sometimes we think it's the small things. The Bible said, what? Don't despise the day of small beginnings. It's the small things. You know, I heard T.D. Jakes say the other day, the same thing that he's doing right now in front of 25, 30,000 people, he was doing in West Virginia in front of 10. The same exact way, the same exact authority, the same exact yelling, get ready, and all this stuff. He was doing exactly that. He hasn't changed a thing. So I want to help you remind today, you don't change the thing. Your gifting is your gifting. It's just the platform for your gifting that's going to change. And if you notice here in Joseph's life, the gifting was the same, but the platform continually changed. He started from what? His brothers, his family. They rejected him. They rejected his gifting. Okay, fine. Now we put you in this place. Now his gifting is starting to be accepted a little bit, but it's what? It's still being suppressed. So now he gets to this point. Now he has to have what? Total freedom. So I'm trying to get total freedom. I mean, you have to what? Completely pull out of the situation. Mm-hmm. And that means you might suffer for a season. So now he's in prison. And now he's at the point that the highest authority in the land is in need of him. That brings us to our part today. See, I did all that in 10 minutes. Amen. So now he brings us to our part today. So I'm in Genesis, the 41st chapter, and verse 14 is where I like to start. Genesis 41 and 14. All right. So then the Bible says this. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself and changed his raiment and came into the Pharaoh. How many of you know you just can't go before the king any old kind of way? I know some of us, especially us being African American, some people say, well, I got to be white to get the job. No, you just don't go before people in those kind of way. When you own the place, when you own the palace, when you are the king, you do what you want to do. But until you're the king, you have to do as Paul said, when in Rome, do as Romans do. That means I'm not in sin. However, there is an order that has been established. There is a protocol that has been established. And I must adhere to the protocol if I want to get anywhere. So notice what Joseph do. He does what? He changes his clothes. He didn't go before Pharaoh in prison clothes. He could have, because you know what? Some of us can be so point to the point that we like, well, look, if he don't take me like I am, he don't need my gift. That's how some of us act.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. You got the gift, and nobody else can do it like you. But the problem is, baby, nobody's going to see it. You're not going to get the platform. There are a lot of gifted people here. There's a lot of people who can sing and do all these kind of things and who can do this and do that, but they don't have platform. Platform is essential. So now you have what? Joseph here, and he's sitting here, and he doesn't have this platform. So what he does, the Bible says, he shaves himself. He cleans himself up. He makes himself presentable to Pharaoh, because if he's not presentable to Pharaoh, I don't care what he got to say. The king can't get past what he got on. This is why the Bible said be modest in apparel. You know, I grew up in a time where, you know, the women couldn't do this, they couldn't do that, and I don't believe that, but being modest, you know what modesty is and what it's not. You can be the judge of that, because you know what? It's clear, the Bible says it like this. It said, you will know a tree by its fruits.
Yeah.
As God changes you, you'll change what you wear. Yeah. I ain't got to say nothing to you. We ain't got to say nothing to you. Because what'll happen is, you'll just be uncomfortable yourself. Now, it's one thing if you don't have certain things. You know, we often go through that thing, somebody say, come as you are. I believe, absolutely, come as you are. They don't mean you stay as you are. When I can do better, I do better. And if I need your help to help me do better, then you're my brother and sister, and I can show you.
Amen.
You know, we was joking around last night. We were talking about being bougie on a budget. You can be bougie on a budget. Amen. There are ways to get it done. No, knowledge is key, right? The Bible said what? My people perish for what? Lack of
knowledge.
Amen. Just because you look like $1 million doesn't mean you spent $1 million. And this is where that knowledge comes in. God's favor sometimes. You could be wearing $200, $300, $400 suits, but God's favor sometimes. Do y'all not know favor? I'd rather have favor than money. Yes. That influence.
That's a lot more.
There are people who, hey, you know what? I just want to buy you a suit. You go downtown, you let them buy you a suit. You still who you are. You don't compromise. They know that before they get there. Now you have $400 or $500 suit. People are like, well, how did he get there? God's favor. And I've seen it happen in my own life. I've gone places and done things, and I know many of you have. So it's important. So here, he brings him before the king. And Pharaoh says unto him, I have a dream, and there is none who can interpret it. The problem is set. What's the problem? I have a dream, and nobody can tell me what's going on. Now, what I find interesting is this is Pharaoh. Pharaoh has access to everything. He's magicians. His key people can't even tell him how to solve the problem. I guarantee you, if you look hard enough, everyone in this building, or everybody who's even listening over podcast, there's a problem there that only you can solve. Amen. Your job is to spend your life fighting it. That's your wealth. That's how you're going to get out of your situation. What is it that's in me that's the solution for something else? You know, while we have barbershops, you know, I can cut all that great. So there's somebody there, and I pay them a fee to do that. You know, I don't know how to do this math. I don't know how to teach this. Well, I got somebody there. I paid them a fee to do that. And so you are the solution. And Mr. Joseph shows himself as a what? A solution and a proven solution.
Amen.
He's not his first time getting up here, because if he goes up here and he kills this, he's probably going to be killed. We already see Pharaoh didn't kill the butler. Right? So he goes on and the Bible says this. So then we go on and we find that he has to what? Change his look, because his look matters. So now it's his gifting. The Bible says that it's your gifting that will bring you before what?
Great men.
And with this gifting, I know we talk about accountability, but what you're going to find is when equal gifting means equal accountability. Because you can do it, don't mean you do it. You know, I think Superman said it best. He said, with great power comes great authority and great sacrifice. And what is it?
Great responsibility.
When you can do things nobody else can do, you can gouge people. If you don't know how to fix this kind of car, you can charge people $1 million. If they want their car fixed, they're going to pay $1 million. If you have healing, you can heal people from cancer. Trust me, you'll never be out of work. People will be lined up. You can pick and choose who you want to heal. Now, I don't want you. You see what I'm saying? You can really do it. I just want to heal all the black people and let all the white people and everybody else die. I mean, you really could do that. I mean, and there are people who have these kind of gifts who make these kind of choices. Rich versus poor. I got money. I can always get the better doctor than you can. What's the difference?
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? Now, there's someone like, oh, you're arguing for socialism. No, I'm not. I'm just talking about what Jesus did. Amen? So, yeah, now he's there. He uses his gift. And now we go over to verse 20. In verse 20, something different happens here. So at verse 20 of that same chapter, I flipped over too much. Same chapter, verse 20, here Pharaoh starts to tell Joseph his dream. And it's very interesting here. And he starts to tell him his dream. And I'll go back to verse, I started 20. Because I think this is the interesting part. So he's talking about these kine being basically cows and stuff, right? And he says, and the lean and the ill-fatted kine did eat up the first 7 fat kine. So if you read a couple of verses up, Pharaoh's telling Joseph his dream that there were all these kine out there, these cows. And he was saying that they were cows. There were some fat cows and there were some little skinny cows. But the skinny cows ate up the fat cows. I'm from the country. Matter of fact, where we're living at right now, that's cows right across the street. I have yet to see a cow eat another cow. Last time I checked, I thought they were herbivores. Herbivore meaning they eat plants. Why is a cow eating another cow? That right there in itself, sometimes you're going to find yourself in some weird situations. Things that appear to be unnatural, and your job is going to be to take the unnatural and make them appear natural. Here, what is he saying? He's saying that, what? He's telling Joseph his dream about these cows and that the cows. So you got to think about Joseph here. I mean, that Pharaoh here has no recollection of what's going on. This is crazy. Why are the cows eating the other cows? Matter of fact, and then what you notice here is not only did the cows eat, what did the Bible say they do? When he ate the cows, it said, verse 20, and he says in verse 21, and he said, verse 21, and he said, when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had even eaten them. Now, I don't know about you, you know, we all have pets and this kind of stuff. You can tell when animals are kind of well-fed, they're a little pudgy, or, you know, their stomach's poking, or whatever. You can tell when something's eating something. He said that they ate them, and you couldn't even tell they was eating. Meaning that they still were skinny. How many of you seen people who work themselves to death, and they seem like they never get a heal?
Yes.
There's a situation here. There's a problem here. What is going on? This is, to me, representation of sometimes how we can work ourselves so much to do so much, and then because we don't have things in order, it's just holes in your pocket. You work. I'm trying to save. And you know what? Bam. Keep happy. So hear what? There is holes in the pockets here that nothing stays. So now what? They're eating. And the Bible says they're eating, but they're not gaining. And this is what we see in the world. They continually to eat. You know, they get more and more and more, and they still not happy. They win the lottery. They still not happy. They have anything and everything they can buy. They're still blowing their brains out, jumping off bridges, all this kind of stuff. Why? Because they lack that one thing that makes it all stick together.
Amen.
That peace of God. That spirit of God that gives you the interpretation. So here Joseph, I mean, so here Pharaoh here has anything and everything he wants. About to drive himself crazy with a dream. So much to the point that he's willing to listen to somebody from prison. Think about that for a moment. We're talking about Pharaoh. Pharaoh is essentially like the president of the United States. And that's like him going to here in North Carolina, going to find somebody down there in Raleigh, over there off of Martin Luther King, and going there and they say, oh, this guy tells dreams.
Right. Right.
Just imagine that for a minute.
Right.
The president of the United States is going to come to Raleigh, North Carolina, to go talk to a prisoner in a backroom cell that was telling dreams. This is essentially, so you know this thing had to be bothering him. This thing had to be driving him insane. This thing had to be driving him crazy. So then he gets to the point, the Bible says, then we go down to verse 22, and it says, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up, and one sought full and good, and behold, seven ears withered, thin, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up, and after them. So here he said, what? Now he's also seeing corn. And he's seeing corn that's coming up in the same field. And some of the corn is good and some of the corn is bad. How many of us seen us in situations where, like, one person on the job said this is the worst place, and the other person said this is just the best thing since Christmas? And many times we find ourselves in those situations, those thriving and perilous times when everybody else is losing their head about them, and everybody's trying to, they worried about this and they worried about that, and you and I, we just end up cruising. You know, remember Jesus got in the bottom of the boat and said, we're going to the other side, boys. Jesus went down there and went to sleep. The storms came, but Jesus went to sleep. And he got up from a yard and said, what y'all tripping about? Peace be still, and it's done. He has us, but we got to do what? Trust the dream. Trust what he has shown you. It will come to pass. Don't vision tear for a while. It shall what? It shall come to pass. So then he goes on and he says this. So we find here that there's several problems here. And Joseph goes in and he starts to interpret his dream. He says, yeah, you give me all these different pieces, but everything that you're looking at is one. It's one. You know, we often find ourselves in a situation where people have multiple problems. You go to the doctor and he's like, oh, this hurt and this hurt and that hurt. And then what he do? He give you something for the toe, he'll give you something for the knee, he'll give you something for the back, and then he might give you something for all the side effects for all the other stuff he gave you. Yes? That's typical. But what he's not dealing with, he's dealing with what? More of the symptoms and not the problems. And what Pharaoh was giving Joseph was a list of what? Symptoms. I see this, I see that, I see this, I see that. But where are these symptoms coming from? So Joseph said, oh, what you doing? And first of all, you notice what Joseph does. Joseph does not take credit himself. He said, all my interpretations come from what?
God.
And Joseph knew that all your giftings and you things that you have, they come from him. They're gifts. They're given to you for free. And you can use them. The Bible says, look, gifts are given without repentance. So you can use them for your betterment or your detriment. The decision is up to you. And that's where the accountability piece comes in, is because can you be accountable for the gift that God has given you? Do you use it to better people? Do you use it to strengthen the community? Do you use it to uplift people and inspire people? Or do you use it just for selfish gain, to make your own glory, to make your own house, to make your own palace, to make your name great? Do you put your name all over buildings? Do you help people? What are you doing with your gifting? What are you doing to change things around you? What are you doing? You are accountable for that. So as the story goes on, then Joseph goes through it. Joseph tells Pharaoh the dream, and he gives Pharaoh the interpretation. And guess what happens? You skip down to verse 37. And in verse 37, he says this. And the thing was good, and in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto the servants, can we find such as this a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, that's something special when the king of the land says you're God's man. See, a lot of us, we don't see ourselves as that person. You wait till certain things happen. They come to you. I'm telling you right now, be prepared. And I know we said it ain't fair, you know, they gave this one that job and they put that one that position, they paid that one, but they always want me to do it. That's because you got the gift. And in due season, we have to trust the dream that, okay, God, yeah, I've been overlooked. They've taken advantage of me, but God, you got me. You got a plan here. And in due season, either you're going to pull me out or you're going to raise me up. I have to trust the plan. Because there's some things that you're learning along the way. There's some character things he's working out in you. There's some issues in you that if you take this to that level, it's going to bring you down. Because your character has to also equal your gifting. So that you won't do things when you can do them. You know, we see people in authority, and as they get more in authority, what you find out is that you have more freedom because people trust you more. So if you were stealing on the local level, you're going to steal on the national level.
Right.
What you are here is the same thing you're going to be there. Matter of fact, you're going to be bigger there because it's a bigger platform. So that's what we're talking about. You know. Somebody said, well, it's all right. No, it's not all right. You can't get away with that here. Because when you keep changing platforms, if you were doing it here, you're going to do it there. And you look at people. I guarantee you, when you look at them, you see them all the time. We used to say this thing in the fraternity, you know, that, you know, when people would get their letter, so to speak, all of a sudden people were like, oh, man, he didn't change. No, he didn't change. He just got a platform now. Everybody can see it. Because now, because they're part of this particular organization, you look more, and since you look more, now you see all this other stuff that they was always there, but now it's just been magnified. And that's why I tell people now, you know, I believe the Bible said, well, you know, that speaking in tongues, that the Holy Ghost is that the evidence of the Holy Ghost is by speaking in tongues, but it also talks about knowing these trees by their fruit. Because I know a lot of people speak in tongues, people teach people speak in tongues, and they live no man, what my dad used to say, the man in the moon, right? So what we do is you spend time, observe. I'm learning more and more every single day. Just be patient and just watch things play out. And when you see them, you'll see over time what kind of fruit it produces. And if it's good fruit, it'll continue. And if it's not, it'll take care of itself. Picking the battles wisely. So after all of these things, that now Joseph has done all this stuff. Basically, Pharaoh then put him in charge. He gives them a solution to the problem. Mm-hmm. They love his solution, love it so much so that they put him in second charge. Pharaoh, he only answers to who? Pharaoh. Only to Pharaoh. Remember, Potiphar's wife, he has the ability now to say, Potiphar's wife lied on me and killed him. Accountability. He doesn't use his power to get back at his enemies. How many of us would have did that? I spent 7-8 years in prison, wrongly accused, and now I got the chance to get back at you? How many of us can say that? This is why God was working these things out in Joseph all along the way. Because like I said, now he's second in charge. He told Pharaoh, look, I do this, but you got to get rid of her. She was gone. Potiphar was just going to be short.
Right.
She was gone. Anybody he wanted, he was second in command. Pharaoh had given him complete reign. Pharaoh had given God, he had so much favor with Pharaoh that he could do anything. Joseph could not do wrong with Pharaoh's eyes. And you know what Joseph did? He didn't do wrong because he was accountable for the gifting that God has given him. And even at this point, Joseph's dream still has not come to pass. Joseph was 17 years old when he had his dream. Joseph right now is probably about 38, 39. That's a long time to hold on. Now look at it though. All along the way, Joseph's been blessed. He's not starving. He's been put in positions of power. He's been getting increase in power. He's been stripped and then he's brought back. You know, that stripping, that's like the pruning. You know, when you want to get good fruit out your tree, you have to cut it sometime. And I know it hurts. But what, when it comes back, what it did? It comes back stronger and better. So Joseph's what? He's been pruned and he goes back forward and he's better. He got pruned, he came back and he's better. Now he's second in command. Now he's there. And now he's not doing crazy stuff. He's being accountable for the gift that God has given him. And now the ultimate situation comes, the newest problem.
Amen.
His family shows up. Now I think this is interesting. It closes full circle. It started with the family and it's going to end with the family. Now this same Joseph that was 17 is not the same Joseph you're going to see at 39. You all, we can't be the same people and same thought process at 17 that we were at 39. The Bible says like this, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Some of the things that Joseph was saying that he was doing was what? Challenged in nature because that's just where he was at the time. His environment played a lot in that. Now Joseph is sitting on basically the throne. He's on the right-hand side of the man. And here come these little poor little Hebrews coming in here. We ain't got nothing to eat. We about to die. And the Bible says, you know, but I'm not going to read the rest of the story. The Bible says that Joseph recognizes them as his brothers. Now Joseph has an opportunity here. He could kill him. I mean, killing was very, very common. That's what they did. He could just kill him. He could just send him on the way. Nope, you ain't getting nothing. Kick him out. But what did Joseph do? Joseph was so moved by the position and authority God had put him in and what he could have done that he couldn't even contain himself. It says that what he leaves and he does what? He goes and he cries. How many of us would be crying for people who've done us wrong? Some of us can't wait for the opportunity to get them back. Here it is, Joseph. All these years, I went through slavery. Who knows how that was? I worked and I got accused of things I didn't do. All because y'all was jealous of a coat that dad gave. Dad put that on me. This is why men are important. Because men put this on their children. The men have the ability to prophesy your children's future. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing right now. My dad spoke this into existence many years ago. And I fought it and I fought it and I fought it. Now I'm in this vein, I wouldn't go any other way. So that was on him and he carried that. And because he carried that, they saw him and it put him in a peculiar situation. And now he's to this point, what do you do? But Joseph's heart was moved because all he wanted to see was his brother, his baby brother, the one Benjamin. And what does he do? He hatches out a plan. He plays with him a little bit now. Don't get me wrong, Joseph played with him a little bit. He's like, you know what? Yeah, I'll give y'all some food. But don't y'all have another brother? Man, these guys ain't even thinking, but he's the same one that threw his brother in the pit, told his daddy that he was killed by wild animals. They just hungry. Alright, we'll go tell daddy. You know, the dad goes back and he's like, oh no, you can't have him. Cause I already lost Joseph. This is the only one I got, so why do you want to take him? And they like, daddy, if you don't, we all will die. So dad reluctantly gives up Benjamin. Benjamin comes in, and there when Joseph sees him, the Bible talks about him weeping again. See, when you get to a place of authority and you could do some things and you pull back, it just makes your heart tender. It humbles you. Because you're reminded of what could have been. You know, sometimes you go back, you know, some of us we go back down memory lane. You know, I spent a lot of time back in my parents' home this week and we was riding through the streets and stuff, and my mind was going back to things. And the times as children, things that happened to me and things, places we walked in. And I know some of you, you know, we have similar experiences when you go back to your parents' home and that kind of thing. You start thinking about how far God has brought you. From places with no stoplights and places, no running water, no indoor toilets, all this stuff. And now you get to eat off the best of the land. Remember, Joseph was, they were laying in tents. Joseph lives in temples now. Joseph don't go hunt for his food anymore. They bring it to him. He gets prime rib. He didn't just get lamb. He can have all of it if he wants. Just look how far God has brought him. And yet the dream has not been fully realized yet. He's getting closer, but the dream is not fully realized. So then he gets to the point, he plays with them a little bit. He basically tells them, leave me the brother. He tells his people to put a silver goblet or something in one of his brother's bags because he was giving them food. And then they accuse him of stealing it. And when they accuse him of stealing it, he keeps the brother as ransom. So now the dad is really about to go nuts. But the whole point is he wants the dad to come. And long story short, Joseph gets them all up there. And when he gets to a point that he actually reveals who he is. See, when guys get done with you, some of these people ain't gonna be able to recognize you. Martell, they ain't gonna be able to recognize you when you get done. Amen. That ain't Martell that did what? They can't even say it. Amen. They can't even say it. Amen. They can't even say it. Amen. They wanna say it, but it makes them look stupid to say it. Amen. And now what? Joseph's in a place of power and of authority, and what does he do? Instead of cursing them, he brings them all in. Matter of fact, he brings the entire family in. And because of Joseph's faithfulness, the dream has now been what? Realized, and an entire nation, not just one, Amen. Not just 70, an entire nation is saved because of Joseph's faithfulness to what God has called him to be and what God called him to do. And the Bible says that what they came in 70, and the next time we get a number on them is when they leave in Egypt at the Exodus, and they in the millions. 70 peasants get stuck right in Egypt. They eat off the good of the land because of one man.
Amen.
So don't tell me one don't matter. Yes, you do matter. You don't know who you're touching. You don't know who you're speaking life into. And you don't know what that person is going to be doing in the future and how you want to interact with them. You know, I tell people all the time, one of the best times I had, obviously, was in college. Yes, you learn all this stuff, but it was more of the people I met. I got people I still talk to for years. The people I met and the things we came across and the things we learned and we got, you know, to learn together and we experienced together. And they don't know where I'm going to end up, and I don't know where they're going to end up now. I'm not looking for them to do this and do that, but if I'm the solution to a problem, or if they're the solution to my problem, I welcome them.
Amen.
So because of Joseph's faithfulness, he's continually be able to what? Trust the dream. So I'm going to, in closing, I just want to remind you today, trust the dream. I know it didn't look good. It didn't look good for Joseph. I guarantee you, when he was down there in that pit, he thought he was going to die. When he was over there being a slave and that woman accused him of raping her, he thought that was it. When he was sitting in prison, but he still what? He continued to bless people and he used his gift, and it was his gift that made room for him, and not only made room for him, but him to be able to bless his entire family, where 70 turned out to be millions. Because later on, we'll find out about that as you continue to read on, you'll find out that pharaohs change. You know, presidents change, CEOs change, pastors change. And that person you might have had favor with, you don't have anymore. And we find that out later when we get into the Exodus of Egypt. At this time, I hope that this has been a